Hey, welcome to
Coffee Room Chronicles.
Hey, Ekat.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yo, it has been way too long. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too. It's been a minute. And we're not in the coffee room, but...
Yeah, things have just shifted a whole lot. A lot of time has passed. We got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, we're not going to fill you in on every single D, but we're going to give you, like, the important pieces, the juicy bits.
Yes. Like, first and foremost, those of you who were with us in the copy room before, you know, the whole global pandemic, mm-hmm. we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Those of you new to the copy room, we appreciate you, too.
Yes. Yes. So, my friends, old friends.
Yeah, everybody. So, what do we do here at the copy room for those who don't know? Well... I'm Ekat.
I'm K-Tom.
And really what the copy room is about is bringing individuals with dreams and aspirations who are constantly evolving because we're growing and changing and we get that, right? And the copy room, it really is just a space that introduces all of us to different perspectives to the world of teaching by providing a digital platform and a safe space to really teach and learn formally and informally. And really be our authentic selves through the stories that we have to share.
And on Copy Room Chronicles, we connect and learn from one another's authentic experiences. Because in the digital age, it's so easy to want to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But like the lessons are in the mess ups. And so we aim to share our truths about who we are in and out of the copy room, whatever that may be, virtual, real, with the ultimate goal of making a lasting impact on our community.
Yes.
And so, what's tea? Like, one, does the copy room exist? Where have we been? And what have you been doing?
So, first of all, it is, what year is it? It's October 2020.
What's that cartoon? Was it the Jetsons?
Oh my God, where is like in the future?
Yes, we're there.
We are so there. That was like low-key real.
We're there.
That was on brand to like this life we're leading. But it is October 2020, and the last time we were technically together in the copy room, it was about January 2020. So we were opening up the new year. We had goals. We were excited. We were lit. Then, K-Tom, what happened that has tussled us?
The flame went out. The candle was moist.
Okay.
But a lot has happened. So, I mean, we've been here and there, everywhere. Now we're back.
Right. I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't speak to the entire global pandemic that has taken us out for half the year.
Yeah. But has it really taken us out or taken us in?
That was deep.
Plot twist.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
It was so, I mean, understandably so, there have been deaths and like it changed things dramatically, but I'm thankful for the time we've had to just slow down, reflect, and renew.
Yeah, I think COVID really in itself was a disruption. And for those who have lost family members or have just witnessed just how vicious this virus really is, like our hearts and prayers go out to all of you. But for many of us, it caused us to rest and recharge and really think twice about how we was moving.
No, honestly. And like, you know, this may seem trivial, but my plants are alive.
let's talk about these plants.
And they're green, thriving.
They are flourishing.
I'm in a good space.
you are. Okay. The oxygen is flowing.
Okay. Talk about it.
All right.
No, but it feels really good. And I think quarantine just made me sit down and really think about what's important.
Yeah.
It made me recenter. I'm very aware of my dreams. And
talk about it.
Not how to get there 100%, but just this idea that we don't have to sacrifice our dreams or we don't have to defer them.
Mm.
Right? Because of
okay,
this idea.
Okay, Langston.
Right? Come on. Because I've also had time to read. But we've also just, you know, just had the time to say, I'm important too.
Yes.
And I'm not going to put myself to the side to reach this idea of success that's not even mine.
Mm.
So that's where I'm at. Where are you?
I am in such a good place.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who know or may not know, last year I was at Harvard University.
Harvard.
Okay? Because you would not let me just say basically. You know what I mean? You had to give the whole thing.
Yeah, I had to give some dramatics.
Right? And so I was at Harvard. And so last year, just in general, was a year of just learning and growing. Mm-hmm. So even when COVID hit, I just stayed in that same state of just being able to be about me, do a lot of reflecting, a lot of growing and evolving, and just like finding my happy.
That's important.
Okay. And like just learning what it feels like to be alone, like literally alone, mm-hmm. given that the roommate I had, she wasn't around necessarily during COVID. So just like, we're so used to being stimulated by people and things. So to like experience COVID and I don't know, almost be one with myself. Mm. And so I graduated in May and I moved back to New York.
Boop, boop.
Okay. BX.
In New York.
All right. So now I'm back. The curls are flowing.
They are.
All right. Are. Feeling good, living better.
No, that's amazing.
That's I also amazing. Got a new job. No biggie.
We both have new jobs. I definitely diddy bopped out of my old one. So. No, it felt good. I miss it. I really do.
Yeah.
And like going to a different environment made me realize what I loved about my old job. But I'm happy to get a new perspective on education. Yeah. Especially being in a school that's black owned. That's deep.
And for me, friends, I am an assistant principal. All right. Your girl's in school leadership or whatever. No, but that's been good. That's been, I don't know. I also turned 30 this year.
That's deep.
So I'm on this like real, what's that word? Existential? I don't know if I'm pronouncing
it. Existential? Am I off?
Whatever it's called.
We can look it up.
But you know what I'm talking about, y'all. And so I'm having one of those types of years where it's just like, oh my God, new job. I'm back home in New York City. I have a new, I'm in a new decade of life. So I don't know. I'm just in a real reflective and growing place. I don't know. I'm happy. Okay? I'm happy. Are y'all happy? I hope so. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Or make yourself happy, whatever it is. Like, do that. Find that.
Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Benny.
Oh, okay, y'all. So
I know Benny.
All right, so let me just give you the real truth. Like, I've been a deadbeat mom for 5 years. And then my parents were like, yo, we're about to get the dogs away. And I was like, all right, hold on. Like, hold on. And I thought they were playing because, you know, they've said this before. And then when I came, like, they had a person that they were giving the dogs to. And I was like, all right, it's time. So I picked up Benny and my life has changed for the better.
Yes.
So you may hear him in the background just barking it up. And he'll just be a feature on today's episode.
Yes.
But
he's so cute.
Hi, Ben. Mm-hmm.
We're holding one another right now. Or maybe I'm holding him and he's just appreciating it.
And Benny needs all of the cuddles.
Yes.
At first it was too much for me because sometimes I don't like being touched. But I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't have to be such a, I don't know.
Debbie Downer? I don't know if that's appropriate for this scenario.
That was deep. That felt a little bit like a stab.
No!
That felt like a stab. That was deep.
I can't. Oh my gosh.
Wow. Okay. But yeah, so.
But we're back and we're better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And while the copy room looks a little different, I really think everybody gets to experience the copy room. Some people call it the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it the lounge,
mm-hmm.
the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know in big corporate, they got like whole cafeterias?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what that means. Some corporate jobs have like chefs. We get the short end of the stick.
We really do.
Every time. Every time. But it's not about that. Like,
sorry. This is what we do best. Still digressing.
But I think we need to tell our stories again because they changed, right? And so we have new listeners. We have old listeners who are with us. But part of growing is sharing your growth. Mm. And so just how'd you get here? What was your journey to like this very moment?
Yeah. So I owe a lot of this new version of my story to Harvard.
Mm.
And not because it's Harvard University, while yes, it's an amazing institution. I think why it gets credit is what it taught me outside of the classroom.
Mm.
And I learned in the past year the power of telling your story and how through telling who you are, where you come from, you actually can find common ground with other people and find that we can actually, as cliche as it is, we're more united than we are divided.
Mm.
And so for the last year, I literally have told my story over and over again around like why I wanted to be in school leadership.
Okay.
And so now I share that with y'all. For the last 7 years, I was a classroom teacher and I taught U.S. history from Texas all the way to New York City because I did teach for America. And the way I even got into teaching was in a real serendipitous way where one of my really good friends convinced me to apply to the second round of Teach for America. And I was like, nah, you wildin'. Like, I don't know if I want to teach. That's not what I want to do. And she was like, well, what's the worst that can happen? Go through the process and kind of just see what happens. And so I did. And through the process, I learned that I had a lot of the teachers I had growing up were Teach for America alum. And so just like this mission of Teach for America and then having gone to KIPP as a child, it just felt really intertwined and just really serendipitous how I got to this point. And I'll never forget walking into my very first school, which was a KIPP school in Houston. And I saw my picture on the wall from eighth grade. And it was just like this really weird moment where it was just like I was the 22-year-old version of me was looking at the 13-year-old version of me. And that's when I knew, okay, I'm in the right place at the right time. And then over the course of 7 years of teaching, I learned not even just about educating Black and brown students who look like me, but really thinking about how can we disrupt what school looks like for Black and brown kids. Because I think we're all conditioned to believe that school has to happen in a certain way. And we're conditioned to like fit into these stereotypes and just social constructs thanks to racism and white supremacy and all of these different things. And it's taken me a long time to get here, but I know that I'm meant to impact the lives of children. And I know that my calling is working with adults to support the children that are in front of them every day. And so my gratitude to Harvard goes to like just helping me not only tell my story and why I'm here, but also what really is my purpose in education. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, I just thought that I was a classroom teacher and I didn't know that teaching happens in so many other places. It happens in the one-off conversations with friends. It happens on the airport, in the airport when you run into that random person and y'all just make conversation. And it's just like, this is why what we do here at Copyroom Chronicles is so dope, because it's about the stories and it's about how we can bring people together to learn and grow from each other.
Aww.
Hey, Sam.
I know for me during quarantine, I really began to understand myself as an educator and realize that teaching doesn't occur in the classroom only, right? Mm. And so I feel my passion is like teaching beyond the four walls.
Mm.
I think about my favorite educators.
Yes.
And the reason they're my favorite educators is because I knew who they were as a person and I saw them living their dreams. And so for me, I feel like a fraud when I'm teaching kids and I'm not living my dreams, right? Mm-hmm. Because how am I teaching you to do something that I'm not doing myself? And so there are two things that I'm passionate about, urban agriculture.
You better say it.
And self-care. And I have to get back to that. And mm-hmm. that may look like not being in the classroom, right? Mm-hmm. But still teaching in some capacity, the importance of that, because everyone, specifically like Black and brown children, adults, whatever, deserves access to a knowledge about fresh and healthy food options.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really need to learn how to take care of ourselves and understand that that's okay. We need time for that. And I just feel like I came to education because I couldn't get a job in urban agriculture. And they just weren't responding fast enough, so I applied to TFA. And I got the position. I started working as a teacher, and I always knew deep down inside, like, the fire is not burning in me for this. I still need to get into the field and teach kids how to grow their own food, or just teach kids about the impacts of what they eat. And then just self-care, because it's needed. The first thing we sacrifice a lot of the times as millennials, or just people of color in general, is ourselves, for like comfort, stability, or family. Yeah. And if we put ourselves at the center of everything we do, I feel like we'd be a lot calmer and happier. And so that's the journey I'm on, just making sure that no matter what I do, I'm showing kids or whoever's learning from me that I'm living out my dreams, and that's what I'm teaching you to do.
Yes, K-Town, that's beautiful.
You feel it
I do. No, and it hits different when I feel really privileged to have witnessed some of your growth, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've been in each other's lives for just a short time, just from 1 year to the next, and the leaps and bounds you've gone for this dream.
Yeah.
And I think that's dope. And I think what also brings us to this point is knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And this acquisition of knowledge that once you have it and you know things, that can never be taken.
100%.
And I feel like we see time and time again ways in which people try to take that away from us,
mm-hmm.
or withhold knowledge.
Which is, and you know, it's crazy. Like, I've been that person at times, and sometimes you don't realize you're doing it. But I think another thing I've learned is just put everyone on. Knowledge is free, so share it.
That's real.
And I think just something that anyone who is an educator in any capacity, like, to teach children how to reach their dreams, you have to make sure that you do not defer your own. Because if you're deferring your dreams in front of kids, they're going to believe that that's what they have to do in order to make it, in order to survive. We've taught each other how to survive for so long. Like, teach each other how to thrive.
Okay, Bettina, right? Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I really mean it.
It's super
important to me. Because, again, like, we can't be frauds. How many people are unhappy because it's like, well, I wish I was doing this. So do it. It's literally as simple as doing it. And if you don't know how to do it in the moment, learn, figure out a way. It'll come to you. And just bet on yourself every time.
And I think this is why the copy room transcends, because whatever space you occupy, you can educate. Whether it's on Wall Street, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's at the community center,
whether it's in the club, the supermarket,
or the courthouse.
Really?
And I think we need to be cognizant of the spaces we occupy. And what exactly are we trying to teach while we're there? Who do we want to bring up behind us? You know what I mean? Because there's always going to be somebody seeking to be in the same position that we're in.
Yeah, like, regardless of what it is. And that's the dopest part about it, right? Because someone is always watching.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to live authentically. And so, I don't know, that just reminds me of, like, we always think some of the most important lessons come from books. But I'm just so happy, like, we come to this new realization that you can have, like, book smarts and street smarts, right? And it's something that's always thrown around, but to live that is different, way different. Especially as an educator, we believe, well, I have to teach you these standards, and I have to do it like this, and no, like, we're not in a box.
Yeah. And I think it's through that street smarts where you gain experience, right? And some of the experience that, like, we walk away with, or that have shaped us or have gotten us to this point, didn't come from four walls.
No. Not at all. So if you had to give one lesson from your story, what would it be?
I would say grace. And I say grace because I feel like because I've deferred dreams, and mm-hmm. because I haven't always been good to myself because I put others first, I'm learning to give myself the same grace and kindness that I would extend to others. I think we're so quick to be compassionate to other people, think about other people, put other people in front of ourselves, but it's like, you need to keep that same energy when it comes to yourself. Mm-hmm. We are so deserving of the world. And I think to do this work that we want to do and disrupt industries and disrupt teaching and learning beyond the four walls, we have to give ourselves grace. We have to be kind to ourselves. We have to treat ourselves well. We're entitled to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? What has the streets taught you that the books didn't?
Do not shrink yourself to fit in these spaces and bet on yourself every time.
Every time.
And it's hard because just like what you said, that grace, right? Mm-hmm. We're our own my toughest critics.
Yes.
All the time. We beat ourselves up constantly, but give yourself grace, like you said. But within that for me is just don't shrink yourself.
Yeah.
When your body is telling you something, when your intuition is telling you something, listen, you can be whoever you are, wherever you are. That's the beauty of being an individual. Like, we have all these parameters that we feel we have to live our life within, and we don't.
And I feel like with that comes also, like, not being apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're so quick to say, my bad, or I'm sorry, or I apologize. No.
I'm not.
I did what I did, and I said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah. No, that's really true. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so this is us. We're excited to be back. It's been a long time. We got a lot of new stuff coming your way. We have an election coming up, too, but that's for another episode.
We do. Voting. That's a thing. How did you send your voting?
For the primaries, I sent it in by mail because I wasn't in New York. But October 24th mm-hmm. is early voting in New York, and mm-hmm. I will be there bright and early.
Okay. So I have to get this story off of my chest because I'm tight.
Okay.
So I went to the voting community center, mm-hmm. and I sat there for 30 to 45 minutes. Looking these people up because I'm like, y'all not about to get me to just vote for anybody or anything. So I'm going to know who you are, what you do, what you stand for. Did all of that. The plot twist is, in 2 weeks, I get a letter in the mail like, your vote doesn't count.
Did they say why?
Something about the person I voted for wasn't in my party.
Or
like, I'm registered as an independent.
Well, does that mean you can vote however you... Like, what does that mean?
Not in this one. I would have to get the paper to tell you exactly what it said, but I was vexed, okay?
I was vexed.
So I'm like, nah, bro. But next time,
So what does that mean for the general election then for you?
I'm still going to vote, and we can have a conversation about my sentiments on voting later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do my part.
Yes.
In this election to make sure we get our justice.
Okay, mm-hmm. Civic duty is important.
Yeah.
That's just one of many topics. So much to discuss, but I'm so excited to be reunited.
I am too.
This is a reunion for the world and for us.
This is for us.
Okay?
This is for us.
Yeah.
Self-care.
Yeah.
Speaking of self-care, what are you doing to take care of yourself? I feel like, no, I think this is important. And you brought this up earlier, just this.
You be remembering the things I say.
I do. I listen. I listen.
If now. You be making me feel like I say some really poignant things.
I listen now. but this idea that we have to make working from home feel like it did in our spaces of employment.
Mm.
And so,
No, I agree. It's about boundaries. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm 30. Anybody who knows me, they know that's like my phrase of the year. Like, I'm going to be saying that one. Because I'm 30. But honestly, it's because I'm 30. And I just don't
now
care.
Now this.
I don't care. I go to bed at 8:30, and I'm not upset about it. I don't stay up late. I'll wake up early.
No, I'll press it.
If I need to, I'll wake up early. But see, I'm going to
define early.
I'm not going to define that for the people. They don't need to know that.
Yes, they do.
Okay. On a good day.
First of all, how many alarms do you have?
Honestly, K-Top, I you know what?
I need a number.
I was going to be like, it's only about three. But I've had weeks where, depending on the week, it is crazy. It'll be like, you know, seven or whatever. Look, okay, that breakthrough and breakdown is for another time. But yes, I'll go to bed at 8:30 on a good day. I wake up at like 5:30. If I need to wake up really early, I've woken up at 3:30 before.
I tried it. and I said no.
But again, we are, you know, have been trained to be classroom teachers. So these ridiculous hours is basically 8 a.m. for some of you all.
Right, which is crazy.
I know. 8 a.m. is like,
like 8 a.m. is waking up early.
Right.
First of all, but like, you know how much has happened by 8 a.m.?
Right.
Everything.
I started administering a whole school-wide assessment by 8.
Like, I've been in a meeting already.
Yes.
Like, classes started.
Yes. I've greeted kids and families.
Like, I might have handled, like, a fire already at 8. And some people are just, you know,
I've already cleared my inbox by 8.
Oh, you cleared your inbox?
Yeah, like if there was emails that I didn't tend to.
You know why I stopped doing that in the morning? Unless it's something that's pressing.
Because people send more.
And it's a lot of it is like anxious energy. And I'm not with that. I have a whole routine going. I get up. Yes. I make my bed. Yes. I might clean a little bit. I'm burning incense. Or I have to listen to a little bit of music, just lollygag, you know, get my day started.
Yeah.
And then I will get to your shenanigans. Like, again, it's me first. It's me first.
I love it. That's the motto.
Before, I think we've all had those times we're just like rushing to get ready.
Yeah.
Jumping into work, especially since we work from home in some capacities.
Yeah.
All right, let me get up, rush myself so I can go to work. No. Absolutely not.
It's what I like to call the life of a tussled napkin. But you know what? We're going to end on a positive note. We are well. We are happy.
No, we are. And so I think wellness for you is like going to bed at 8:30, which I love.
Yes.
I love. For me, it's putting work away. When I feel that I am done, I am done.
Okay, close the laptop.
I am not going to stress myself out. That's that on that.
Okay. We will see you next time.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us in the copy room, and we cannot wait to chat.
Yes, love y'all. Thanks for joining us. See you later. Bye.